It's my pleasure to welcome IQ Al Rasooli, the foremost expert on the religion of Islam in the world, or as IQ has correctly assessed the doctrine, it is an international crime syndicate. It was born that way. It remains that way. IQ, I'd like to ask you a question. What is the lone objective of Boko Haram?
To rape, to plunder, to take slaves, to subjugate people who are not Muslim. And even if they are Muslim, it's a different sect. They will suffer exactly the same thing.
That's their tactics. What do they deploy, those tactics of rape, kidnap, enslavement,
it's a crime
mass
syndicate.
Murder?
It's an organized crime syndicate.
And what is their objective? Why do they rape? Why do they kidnap? Why do they burn villages down? Why do they commit acts of mass murder? Is there something they're trying to achieve?
Yes, they obey Muhammad's Quran to achieve dominance over every human being who's not a Muslim, unless you have a better idea.
No, they're trying to achieve an Islamic state, which would be
correct.
A state managed under the ideals of Muhammad. They want that state run on the basis of Sharia law. I read all the time, IQ, that when nations the subject of Sharia law comes up, that it's always a strict version of Sharia law. Is there a unstrict version of Sharia law?
Well, if you can find a moderate Muslim, then you will find unstrict Sharia law.
Is there a separate jurisprudence that is comprised of moderate and civil Sharia law? Is there a moderate Quran, since that I'm told by people everywhere that these Muslims that are committing these extremist acts really aren't Muslims, they're extreme radicals. So there must be a moderate Quran and an extreme radical Quran. Could you send me a copy of the extreme radical Quran? Or maybe if the one I'm reading is the extreme radical Quran, maybe you could send me a copy of the moderate Quran. I haven't found it.
When I find one, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
But in 30-plus years, I haven't found one.
Was Muhammad ever moderate?
You mean the despicable creature called Muhammad bin Abdullah? No, he was never moderate.
Did he ever exhibit tendencies towards peace?
In 62 years of his life, including when he was born, no.
Did he ever show any respect for women?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Respect? He treated women like domestic animals. In fact, sometimes less than domestic animals, because he preferred the horse than a woman.
Yeah, the fact is that, just that comparison, which is one that, of course, the Quran and Muhammad himself makes, the reality is that since I don't go raping my dog, I can tell you that Muhammad treated women much worse than normal people treat domesticated animals. Most farmers don't engage in bestiality, and Muhammad raped most of the women in his presence. When we see Boko Haram doing these tragic acts, and yesterday Boko Haram may have committed the single largest massacre in its history. Now, they've killed, 10,000 people over the last 5 years. I mean, it's a genocide that is taking place. They have kidnapped for the purpose of making sex slaves out of over 1,000 little girls. And yesterday was the single biggest one-day massacre in their history. And is there any way that any informed, rational person could disassociate Boko Haram from Islam?
First of all, no. Second of all, we have to enlighten our people. Mm-hmm. Almost the entirety of the people who are being exterminated or enslaved or raped are Christian blacks.
Yes.
It's very important people hear that.
Yes.
Christian blacks. Not
right.
Black Muslims, black Christians. They are eradicating them off the face of the earth.
And let's just make this point, that this is not unique to Boko Haram, not far from Nigeria, just sliding east across the continent. In the Sudan, Did the Arab Muslim, the fundamentalist Muslim government of the Sudan, annihilate 2.5 million African Christians and African animists?
Absolutely right. In the last few years, definitely. It's recorded in the United Nations.
Right. 2.5 million of them.
Doesn't do anything about it.
Right. And when they overhunted the African Christians and animists in the Sudan, these fundamentalist Muslims, and there was nothing left to steal, no one left to rape, no one left to enslave, they then turned on African Muslims, didn't they?
Absolutely. Of different tribes or different sects. That's what they have done throughout 1,400 years. When they overhunted, as you keep repeating the same expression, when they overhunted the Jews and the Christians of Arabia, they turned outside Arabia to overhunt other human beings.
The most recent genocides that have been perpetrated in Chad and Mali, were they perpetrated by the Christian population or the Muslims?
Only by the Muslims. In the whole of Africa, it's only by the Muslims.
Is there a Christian militia in Libya, or is the hellhole that is now Libya nothing but a battling Islamic jihadist?
Yeah, but Islamic jihadists who are all for one single purpose. Each group is an organized crime syndicate. Each
yes.
group. None of them are doing it for Allah or Muhammad only. They're doing it for money. They're doing it for sex. They're doing it for power.
Yeah, the matter of fact is that when they're doing it for Allah and Muhammad, they're doing it for sex, power, and money, because that's all Muhammad and Allah seem to care about.
That's it. Well, Muhammad and Allah are one and the same. Obviously,
correct.
They care the same about, of course.
Right. You know, when I read the all of these excuses for the demonic behavior that we witnessed in Paris this last couple of days, and people saying that to draw a picture that pokes fun at Muhammad is like pouring gasoline on a fire, and you can't scream fire in a crowded theater. People should know better. And then they talk about in Islamic law it's illegal to draw a picture of the prophet because of idolatry. Isn't it impossible to separate Muhammad and Allah in the Quran?
But since they are one and the same, how can you separate them?
Right. But every word of the Quran speaks of obeying Allah and his prophet. The orders, the behavior, the example, they're always engaged in the same thing. They always say the same thing. They do the same thing. Their orders are the same. And even the Quran even refers to Allah and Muhammad as us and we, correct?
Correct.
So is there any way that you could have more idolatry than the Quran as it pertains to Muhammad, a man presenting himself as if he were God? Is there any book more idolatrous than the Quran?
None. We disagree on semantics. I always and will always insist, Islam is the cult of Muhammad.
Yeah.
It's not a religion. I know you say that Christianity is the cult, blah, blah, blah. I don't mind.
Yeah.
We have to disagree sometime.
Right.
But I separate cultism from religion. Religion is with a deity, a god.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad and Islam has nothing to do with God. It's got to do everything with Muhammad.
Yeah, and Christianity is the cult of Paul. It has nothing to do with God either. It is in Christianity, the god of Christianity is Paul. That's Paul and Muhammad are the same beast. Now, the difference between you and me in this conclusion is you're an expert on Islam, not an expert on Pauline Christianity. I've spent more of my life studying Pauline Christianity than I have Islam. I would acknowledge that you know more about Islam than I do. I know more about Pauline Christianity than you do. They're the same beast. In fact, it was by studying Muhammad that I came to understand Paul. They are the same beast. It is a cult of personality. There isn't a God. There isn't an actual God in either of them. But when we turn to what happened in at the magazine, the Charlie Hebdo magazine, is there any chance whatsoever that the two men that perpetrated the mass murder were, as the media wants to call them, lone wolves?
Never. There is no such thing as a lone wolf. I'll tell you why, with all due respect. Every single Muslim is a jihadi Muslim. Now, let me explain to the audience. There are two levels of jihad. The warring jihad, like the ones who committed the mass murder, and the stealth jihad. Who is the stealth jihad? Mm-hmm. Are those silent, so-called moderate Muslims. They are the ones who harbor them. They are the ones who give them advice and security. They are the ones who give them money. They are the ones who give them food. That's why they're
silent. So the one encourage them, they shelter them, they praise them, they celebrate them. And if you are not either an actual jihadist or actively supporting the jihad, according to the ninth surah of the Quran, which would be, this is fundamentalist Islam, you can't get away from the ninth surah. It was the second last revealed, therefore can't even be abrogated by anything other than the fifth surah. According to the ninth surah of the Quran, a Muslim who isn't actively engaged in jihad, which is fighting in Allah's cause and killing in Allah's cause, or devoting themselves to supporting killing in Allah's cause, they cease to be a Muslim according to Allah. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. And not only do they cease to be Muslims, they are subject to death and destruction like everybody else who's not a Muslim.
So according to the Quran itself, it's impossible to be a moderate Muslim.
Well, that's why you and I agree. It is impossible.
Yeah.
Because the Quran says so. Muhammad
says
so.
Yeah, the Quran
says
so. Right. According to Allah, according to Muhammad, one and the same. According to the Quran, also one and the same. According to Muhammad's hadith, it is impossible to be a peaceful Muslim. It's impossible to be a modern Muslim. According to all of them, read the ninth surah. It says if you aren't engaged in jihad, fighting, killing on behalf of Muhammad and Allah, or supporting it, cheering it, sheltering it, funding it, arming it, then you cease to be a Muslim. You become what Allah calls a hypocrite. And what does Allah say should happen to the peaceful Muslims, the moderate Muslims, these Muslims that the media and politicians want to describe as the core of Islam? What does Allah and the Quran say should happen to these peaceful, moderate Muslims?
Well, first of all, they're not called Muslims anymore. Second of all, to be destroyed. By the way, just in case.
That is correct, by the way, and I want to be corrected on that.
Sorry.
That is really important, and I need to be corrected there. There is, when I use the term a peaceful, moderate Muslim, the Quran does not allow that definition. The Quran says if you're peaceful and you're moderate, you cease to be a Muslim, you become a hypocrite. And doesn't Allah in the ninth surah tell Muslims to go off and kill the moderate, peaceful hypocrites?
Chop off their heads, it tells him.
Yeah. Chop off their heads. We'll be back with IQ Al-Rasuli, and we have Jason in Toronto. Back to Shattering Myths. IQ, you probably have heard of the name Howard Dean. He was head of the Democratic Party in the United States. He was a presidential candidate not very long ago. He came out yesterday on MSNBC and said that he would no longer refer to terrorists as Muslims. He says the gunmen who committed the mass murders at Charlie Hebdo were as Muslim as he is, and that the Quran does not endorse the slaughter of innocents.
To tell you the truth, if I were interviewing him, I would have got out of my chair and slapped him maybe 15, 20 times. Then he can take me to court.
Yeah. You know, you and I neither endorse violence of any kind, but the thing where I have come to your position is that I have now come to realize that there is there are individuals who are far more vile, who are far more dangerous than the Muslims who killed the 12 people in Charlie Hebdo, and those are people like Howard Dean. Dean is far more deadly, far more deceptive, far more demonic, far more despicable than they are. Someone who will promote and advance and run interference for a doctrine, a cult, a despicable institution that consistently promotes terrorism, in fact, conducts 99% of the world's terrorist acts. They are far more vile than the perpetrators of those crimes.
Yeah, for years I'm talking about. In every radio interview, even in my emails, I always said the most criminals amongst us are not the Muslims.
Yeah.
The ones who protect them by saying they are peaceful.
Yeah, the ones that try to differentiate them from their religion. I got a call yesterday from somebody that said, you know, maybe this will be the wake-up call for people around the world that Islam is indeed a crime syndicate and that Islam cannot be tolerated. And I says, no, exactly the opposite is going to happen. You'll hear almost every voice differentiate these murderers from the religion that motivated them to perpetrate the crime.
By the way, they have already done it.
Yes.
Every single news media was condemning the attack because they want to silence the news media, and they became silent. Only the Huffington Post, I was amazed, of all the newspapers in the world, I wouldn't have thought the Huffington Post would publish the cartoons.
Yeah.
In America, only the Huffington Post did that. All the others, we're not going to do it. CNN, we're not going to do it. MSNBC, right. Fox News, all of them.
Right.
So why are they talking about freedom of expression?
That they're all hypocrites.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jason, it's good to hear from you. I understand you might have either a question or comment on the events of these last couple of days.
Yeah, good to hear you two guys, too. Yeah, I would say... as far as that quote you just mentioned, you know, it's people like that that make everybody more vulnerable.
Yes.
I would say, though, that I would encourage both of you that, you know, despite the narrative of the media, I think their narrative is going to fall on deaf ears the more this happens.
Yes.
And I'm, you know, sadly, that's an encouraging thing. You know, you spoke yesterday about use the word discrimination. In a
mm-hmm.
positive context.
Yes.
And it's so true that we need to discriminate. I remember
right.
a while ago, just for fun, I took an IQ test. I remember after the results, it did speak a little bit about how the IQ test formed its answers and whatnot, and
mm-hmm.
it said that 60% of my intelligence is pattern recognition,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
you cannot recognize patterns if you don't discriminate. And so
right.
everybody that wants to replace to put feelings ahead of facts, they're forfeiting half of their intelligence. Everybody's got to recognize that.
Correct.
Here's the narrative in the media.
Correct. And that's, by the way, that's the whole purpose of political correctness. That's why the religion of Howard Dean of the DNC, the presidential candidate, is to lie on behalf of the religion of Islam. And he knows nothing about the religion, and yet he is lying on behalf of it, because he not only himself is incapable of exercising good judgment, of being discriminating, of evaluating evidence and drawing reasonable conclusions. He himself is incapable of it. And he wants everyone who listens to him to reject the single most important thing that we as people can do.
Yeah.
In fact, Jason, if you can stay with us, what I want to do when we return with IQ Al-Rasuli up to the bottom of the hour is I would like to reprise what I did yesterday, where I did not begin with Charlie Hebdo. I began by describing the many terrorist acts perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims around the world, and I asked whether or not those behaviors were criminal. And then I included Muhammad's initial behavior, asked if it was criminal, and said, can a conclusion be drawn? IQ, I'd like to ask you some questions. When Muhammad armed the first Muslims, and they lay in wait and hid for a civilian caravan, then ransacked it, murdered about half of the individuals, kidnapped some, and robbed the caravan, Muhammad himself mutilating the bodies of those that he had killed and gloated over them. Would you consider that a criminal act?
Yes.
Yeah. When the Iranian government decided that they would imprison a woman for apostasy because they think that she became a Christian and that was a crime punishable by death, would you consider what the Iranian government did criminal?
Yes.
How would you define the Pakistani government's willingness to support the death sentence for a Christian who is accused of speaking about their religion? Would you say that's criminal?
Criminal. Definitely.
Okay. How about the suicide bombings of 9/11? Were those criminal acts?
Well, unless somebody is depraved mentally, yes, they are.
How about Hassan, the mass murderer, the guy that killed 12 soldiers at Fort Hood, all of whom were unarmed while shooting, shouting Allahu Akbar? Do you think that might have been a criminal act?
Well, I don't know. Not according to your government, no.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, according to workplace violence.
But not according to your government.
Yeah. How about in Saudi Arabia today when they began the first of the 1,000 lashings for a man whose only crime was insulting Islam? Would you consider the Saudi government criminal?
Yes, but he couldn't have insulted Islam. Since Islam is beneath contempt, how was he able to insult it? I want to know.
Oh, yeah, but telling the truth about it, they view as insulting. Boko Haram, they've kidnapped over the last year 1,000 little girls to be used as sex slaves. Would you consider that criminal?
I hope so. Yes, I do.
The Islamic State has done the same thing, but with many thousands of little girls, turning them all into sex slaves. Would you consider that criminal?
Again, yes.
All right. How about Hamas when they fired rockets into Israel and then they located those rockets before they fired them next to schools and hospitals and apartment complexes so that the retaliation for their act of terrorism would lead to the deaths of women and children?
May I just correct you? Not only next, they actually had them in the mosques, they actually had them in the schools. As even the United Nations found out, and I agree with you, it is a criminal act.
Okay, I stand corrected, and you're right. How about the PLO when they encouraged and then celebrated the kidnap and murder of four Israeli teenagers, three boys and a girl? Would you consider that a criminal act?
I would hope so, yes.
And how about
a human being would consider it a criminal act, but Muslims are not decent human beings.
In the last month, there have been three either drive-by or knife attacks by Muslims in and around Paris. Would you consider all of those criminal acts?
Yes.
All right. So the murder of 12 people and the wounding of 15 to 20 more in Paris yesterday, would that be considered a criminal act?
By decent human beings, yes, definitely.
Okay. And in London, when the caught on videotape, the Muslims were shouting Quran slogans and Allahu Akbar while knifing a man to death, cutting off his head, would that be a criminal act?
Of course, it is a criminal act.
What is the only common denominator between all of those?
Islam.
Is there a common denominator between 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts and a single cult or doctrine?
Only Islam and Muhammad.
Yeah. So Muhammad himself, did he not say, "I've become victorious with terror"?
So repeatedly. In the hadith, repeatedly.
Did Muhammad lead and inspire terrorist raids, and does his Quran celebrate Muhammad's acts of terrorism?
Each one of them, yes.
Did Muhammad ever fight a battle that wasn't a terrorist attack?
Not a single one.
So Muhammad was a ruthless terrorist, and all of his terror was directed at enriching himself, robbing civilians. Is that true?
Yes, but that means he was a pathological, not only a criminal, a coward.
Yes.
Because they only pick on civilians who are not armed again and again and again. Aircraft, civilians, trains, civilians, buses, civilians, school civilians, always civilians.
Boko Haram, little girls. Little girls. They attack and kidnap for sex slaves little girls. The Islamic State, armed to the teeth with tanks and all manner of weapons, and they attack unarmed little girls.
Yeah.
These two gunmen with grenade launchers and AK-47s in Paris walked into a place that the most deadly weapon was a pen. They're cowards, aren't they? All of them. They're just despicable, criminal cowards. And Muhammad, did Muhammad ever attack an army? Did he ever fight anyone who could fight back?
Well, he tried. You remember, we repeated, he said that when he tried with the Byzantines, his own supporters left him.
Yeah, and actually, the Byzantine community that he ultimately terrorized, it's described in the then it's justified in the fifth surah, which is the last surah revealed.
Yeah.
It was a very tiny little village that was loosely associated with the Byzantines. There was no army there. Muhammad thought that he could get in, get out, rob them, terrorize them, and leave without ever having to confront the army. In fact, they never did confront the army, did they?
No.
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 Muhammad never fought against anyone who could fight back.
Even Hadith says he used to wear two coats of mail. Two.
Right.
Why would anybody wear two coats of mail unless you're a coward?
Particularly when you're armed to the, your goons are armed to the teeth. And the people that you're attacking are almost universally unarmed.
Correct. But he wore two coats of mail.
Oh.
The coward.
So my point that I made in the program yesterday and that Jason is talking about here, a person would be incapable of being moral, of being reasonable, of being civil, of being just, of being intelligent if they cannot make the connection between these things and discriminate in such a way that they can come to a reasoned conclusion, which is the antithesis of what is being stated by every news media.
Absolutely.
Islam is responsible. Islam is a criminal enterprise.
Yes, that's why this Dean person you're talking about, the CNN, MSNBC, you name
Correct.
Them, all of
yeah.
them are
right.
in denial of facts and reality. And they are criminal.
There's yeah. Yes. And because the Obaminator, Barack Hussein Obama, and his former Secretary of State and his current Secretary of State both make the same claim, which is absolutely 100% false and deadly, despicably deadly, that okay. That Islam has nothing to do with these terrorist acts, that all of them are considerably more vile. They're more deceitful, they're more deadly, they're more destructive than any Muslim on the planet.
Absolutely right. But I want to discriminate between the two. Obama is a Muslim who is using taqiyya. I understand him. I'm not saying I forgive him, but I understand him. But his goons are European Americans or even black Americans. And black Americans, this is remarkable. Black Americans who convert to Islam are the most stupid animals on the planet Earth. Why? Because 140 million of them were slaughtered, so that 14 mm-hmm. million will end up in the what we call Americas as slaves by the Arabs and by the Muslims.
Oh yeah, they buy into this myth that Islam is the religion that promotes being black, when in fact Islam is the most racist dogma
yeah.
ever conceived by humankind, and any time Arab Muslims rule over black people, whether they're Muslims or Christians or animists, they slaughter them.
Correct.
Always have. No exceptions.
Yada. Even in the Arabic language, today and yesterday and 1400 years ago, a black man is not called Aswad. Aswad is the color black. They're called Abid. ABD means slave. And even today, 1400 years later, they call them Al-Abid, which is plural for slaves, not black people.
Yes, in fact, the slaves that were taken to the Americas, while the vessels they sailed on were either British or Dutch, the religion that rounded them up, that sold them to the British and Dutch, because the British and Dutch did not have the capacity nor the will to go off and enslave Africans. They did not do so.
No.
They bought the slaves. Who did
Absolutely.
They buy them from?
Absolutely. From the Arabs and the Muslim blacks.
Correct.
Only Arabs and Muslim
Correct.
Blacks.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, Islam has always been a religion of slavery. And in Islam, Muhammad enslaved. Muhammad
yeah.
had slaves. He had sex slaves, and he funded Islam via the slave trade. Yeah, to be a black Muslim is to be especially stupid. And that is just you've got to absolutely have a complete disregard for everything that would be reasonable. And yet, you know, you see it so often in American sports. I would ask you another question. Where Muslims are having a conniption fit over a drawing depiction of Muhammad, wouldn't idolatry be naming yourself after somebody? You're idolizing them if you're naming yourself after them. What's the most popular name in the Islamic world?
Muhammad.
There you go. And doesn't Muhammad equate to praised one or some kind of elevated idolatrous title?
Yes, from Hebrew. Muhammad. In Hebrew, it's exactly the same. That's where they got it from. And now they say, but it's in the Hebrew language, so the Jews already knew that Muhammad was coming. Yeah.
Ma'ud in Hebrew is to be great, but to be exalted in Hebrew in the sense of the connotation that Muhammad has in Arabic is really from the Hebrew Rab, but Muhammad wasn't smart enough to know that. But Rab is the basis of Rabbi. It means to exalt. It means to be great as an individual. Ma'ud is simply to be strong, and Muhammad was never strong. So much we can learn, if only we're willing to open our eyes and open our minds and to be discriminating, to be judgmental, to exercise good judgment, to do the very thing that politicians and the media want you to avoid so that they can manipulate you with their lies. But we'll pierce them. That is what IQ Al Rasuli does best, better than anybody else in the world. We'll return after the break. Welcome back to Sharing This. Having a discussion with IQ Al Rasuli, the foremost expert on Islam, the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. The thing that bothers me the most, IQ, is that those who try to restate Islam so that Islam is disassociated from all of the terrorist and criminal acts that is perpetrated around the world today, none of them have either read the Quran or Hadith and know diddly squat about Muhammad, and therefore they're just spewing a unfounded opinion, or they know the truth, like Barack Obama knows the truth, and they're lying through their teeth. It's not difficult to understand the truth. You don't have to spend a lot of time to know that Muhammad was the most reprehensible piece of trash that ever lived.
I always said there aren't enough negative adjectives to describe such a dissolute human being. I always said also that all they need to do, any decent human being needs to do, not to buy the Quran, Google the Quran, read it, chapter 2 to chapter 9, no more than chapter 2 to chapter 9. You don't need to read 114 chapters.
Correct.
By the time you finish chapter 2 to chapter 9, and you come to the conclusion that there is something right about the Quran and Muhammad, maybe you should have your head examined.
Right. Or to realize that there's only 5 sources that were compiled to writing within 200 years of Muhammad's death.
Correct.
If you're going to speak in the media, if you're going to speak out publicly about Islam, read all 5 of them. Or go to Prophet of Doom, and they're presented there in chronological order and context with each other. Or if you want to do as a lot of people want to do, to be expert on what Islam has to say about any particular subject, read your books. You know, for $50, they can buy each of the volumes of your books from Amazon and become an expert.
By the way, they can have it free of charge. They go to inthenameofallah.org. I've got 780 chapters. Yada.
Wow.
780 chapters. There is nothing about Muhammad, nothing about Islam that I haven't covered. Free of charge.
And what's the website again?
Mine is free of charge. And what more do you want? And what does anybody want?
What is the name of the website again, IQ?
In the name of Allah.
Wow. So in the name of Allah.com.
If you go there now while I'm talking to you, in the name of Allah.org.
Wow.
780 in alphabetical order, by the way.
And the only difference between the chapters that you have written as part of Lifting the Veil and Prophet of Doom is our means of organizing the material. We cite
Absolutely.
Exactly the same material. Right.
Yes, we're identical otherwise.
Right, right. My presentation is chronological. My goal was to set the Quran, which is a jumbled mess, into the context of Muhammad's life and reorder it chronologically using the four hadith collections that were compiled within 200 years of Muhammad's death so that the Quran and Islam and Muhammad could be understood. Chronological presentation. Yours is organized by context, by subject. So okay. And both ways of organizing the material are logical, reasonable, and beneficial. In the Quran and in the Hadith itself, there is no organization.
None whatsoever.
The Quran is just strictly a jumbled mess. You know, the other thing that's interesting, you and I both say, that all somebody has to do to understand Islam is to read the first nine surahs of the Quran. In fact, you could read 8, 5, and 9, and that would be more than sufficient. But the reality is that if you read the rest of the Quran, you'd come away with, it's the worst book ever written. It's wrong scientifically everywhere. You know, the sun does not go to bed in the money spring. Alexander the Great did not go and visit extraterrestrials. The humankind was not created from sticky slime or a congealed blood clot. And the Quran contradicts itself constantly. And its subject matter is either grotesquely immoral or totally ruthless and violent. It is the worst book ever written. Anybody who would actually read the Quran, who is the least bit literate, would come away and say, good God, this is trash. If this is God's word, I don't want to know him.
I agree with you 100%. There is absolutely no beginning, there is no middle, and no ending in the Quran. And there is no beginning, no middle, no ending in any of the chapters of the Quran.
Correct.
For example, it starts with a chapter or a verse on Moses, and then he goes to Adam, and then he jumps to Jesus, and then he goes back to something else.
Right. And the caricature of those historic individuals is so maligned, so twisted, as to bear no resemblance to who they actually were.
There is no resemblance.